Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to November. I can't believe it. Thank you so much for dropping in and joining us here for the Be Our Guest podcast. More fun Walt Disney World talk to get you ready for an awesome weekend. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. When you're ready to head out on your next Disney adventure, have an advocate there for you, a partner in planning that's going to take care of all the stuff that you don't have time for or just don't want to do. And make sure that you're getting the best deal possible. Those agents check every morning to make sure you're getting the best possible savings on your Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Disney Cruise Line vacation. And they're there to help you with anything you might need for no cost to you. What I'm going to ask you to do is drop by themagicforless.com today. Check out all the great specials. It's a great trip planning website. It's got great resources like menus for the restaurants, reviews and photos of all the resorts. It's just a great place to go. And while you're there, fill out that free, no obligation quote form. And let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. And you and I are going to be planning an awesome Disney getaway right away. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. We'd also like to thank our friends over at milksnob.com for sponsoring today's podcast as well. They're originally seen on ABC's Shark Tank. Milk Snob can now be found at Target, Bye Bye Baby, Nordstrom, their own online site, and over 300 retailers around the world. The original 5-in-1 cover can be used as a cover for infant car seats, shopping carts, high chairs, infant swings, and even offers 360-degree coverage for nursing. They also offer magical and galactic prints through their Disney and Star Wars partnerships in covers, blankets, crib sheets, and more. Today, they launched Star Wars Festive Force. This holiday print features Luke and Vader battling for the galaxy with candy cane lightsabers, Chewbacca wrapped up in Christmas lights, and even a stormtrooper in a Santa hat. Exclusively for our listeners, they're offering 20% off your order. So head over to milksnob.com and use the code BEOURGUEST20. Again, that's milksnob.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1558 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. And also, I am here to offer a public service. That's right. We put the podcast out every day or every week, three times a week. But we want to, you know, reach out and make the world even a better place. And so I'm offering my services, any extra Halloween candy. You can send that to St. Peter's, Missouri, and I will dispose of that and take care of the especially Reese's peanut butter cups, 100 grand bars, Twix, peanut butter M&Ms. Those are some of my favorites.
Yes.
But keep the candy corn. Don't send that garbage this way. I don't want that. That stuff's terrible. So anyway, happy November 1st. It's the Dia del Muerto today. So.
Dia de los Muertos.
Yes, well, close. I haven't taken Spanish for a long time, so I was close.
I was in the ballpark. I lived in Albuquerque. I better know how to pronounce
it. It's Muerta, isn't it?
Muertos.
Depends if you're a guy or a girl, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, we're not, you know, we try. So it's happy November. So joining me today to talk a little tech down at Walt Disney World. Lots going on in the tech sphere. A little beta mouse on a Friday here on Be Our Guest. We have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. What's going on, Ricky?
Well, if today is November 1st, then I need to say happy birthday to my brother, who is probably not listening because he doesn't listen to the podcast. But at least it's out there. So happy birthday, Casey.
Happy birthday, Casey, and good runs to all the Be Our Guest podcast lizards assembling right now down at Walt Disney World for the Wine and Dine Half Marathon weekend.
Yay.
I miss that race being at night.
Yes.
I miss night races.
Yep.
Even though if they keep moving the marathon weekend up earlier and earlier, it'll almost be a night race. If you're fast, it could be a night race. I'm just not fast.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, that race was so unique, though, but I think that the fact that it was at night and all the weather issues that they had, I mean, that just made it go toward the day. They just decided, hey, we're tired of all the weather issues back to back, so let's just make this a daytime race.
It was more like the transportation issues. There were so many more people up and about at that time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That in the morning, even though it does impact some of the travel, think about, you know, when most people get there, It's not till later in the morning when the stuff's already over. So
that's a good point.
That's a good point. With dispelling, giving us all this knowledge, we have Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, telling us why things happen, why they're now running in the morning.
This is just my supposition.
That's it. No, it's probably right.
I mean, I have any insider information.
I mean, the weather at 10 o'clock at night is not drastically different from 5 o'clock in the morning. It just happens when it happens. But I know it is. There's more. I know you have a greater chance of rain and thunderstorms at night than in the morning because of the atmosphere. But anyway, this is like I'm not Jim Cantore. What's going on, Pam? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. And I am going to be down there for the races this weekend. So
nice.
We'll be out and about. I know, decided to do that. So I want to see some of that fall stuff before it's gone. I mean, how did it get to be November?
Don't ask questions.
Poof, and it's gone. So anyways, it's just, you know, that crazy kind of thing. So I don't know.
Well, the holiday stars have been hanging on Sunset Boulevard for like a month already. Put those things up forever ago. That's
I know,
crazy.
And I saw in Universal that Seuss Land is already decked out for the holidays. So, which is, it looks so good over there. So they should have that decked out for the holidays more often, I think. Like a longer period of time, for sure. So,
I just realized something, too, by the way. Sorry. I just totally realized something. Our background on Facebook looks like a bunch of candy corn.
It does.
What's up with that? I hate candy corn. I'm looking at it right now. Like, what's wrong with us?
I don't like it either. Both Steve and Hannah like it. And what? I'm always like, no. I know, right? They like to find, like, where you can find the bulk ones that have not only candy corn, but like the pumpkins.
What?
And,
yes.
Like, oh my gosh.
I know what you're talking about. Yep. Those little pumpkins. My grandma used to buy those.
I'm like, ew.
Right.
That's gross. There's like two kinds of people, those who like candy corn and those who do not.
Yeah. No, those who like
candy corn. You married him correctly, Pam Forrester. Yeah.
I know.
I married him correctly. He does not like candy corn. So,
Steve just likes candy to begin with. His secretaries at work bring in little dishes of it, I think, just for him. I swear.
Are they bribing him?
That's what you
do. I don't know, but like he says, he gets up and walks past them like frequently to get like candy. So,
okay. We have one. I forgot what I was going to say now because we got talking about candy corn. So let's just. It's the speaking of the holidays and the transition, because we are definitely in the transitional like weekend. You know, it goes quick down at Walt Disney World. It's Halloween. Bam, it's Christmas. So, a couple questions. Can we listen to Christmas music yet? November 1st.
I've already done it.
Okay.
No.
I'm about to.
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding? Trees are starting to go up in my home.
No. Yeah, but that's like you have as many as, half as many as Walt Disney World. So
she has like the Christmas tree trail as many as that has.
I do. It's true. Yeah, I know. It was so funny. I was actually trying to talk Steve into another one. I was trying to decide whether I needed one or not.
So also shout out to the listener who sent me the link to Target. They have these Christmas tree palm trees on Twitter, and I think I am going to secure one for $69.99.
I know, they're pretty cool.
So I think I'm going to get a little tree, one of those trees, and put a little train around it, and that'll be the studio Christmas tree.
I think whatever makes you happy. Like, if it makes people happy to celebrate Christmas all year long, I am in total support of it, really and truly. If they want to celebrate Halloween for the next couple months, that's fine too, but that makes you happy, I think you should do it.
And one other thing, Ricky, this kind of up your alley, is the Christmas parade, and I use parade in loose terms, that is next weekend. The taping, right? Isn't it the 7th or something like that of November?
Yes. So, okay, for those who don't know, the parade is taped, and again, we use parade loosely because they like show like two floats, and they're like, okay,
exactly.
And I was like, I didn't parade. That is filmed in Disneyland, and we don't know when it's going to be filmed, but they also intersperse it with these musical acts, which really are the main purpose of the whole entire thing, is how many Disney Channel stars can we get up on our stage at the Magic Kingdom, and can we trot out Mariah Carey? So that's going to be filming on November 7th at Disney Hollywood Studios, and then the 9th and the 10th at the Magic Kingdom. Again, it's only going to be the musical performances. And no, I know people ask, can I watch it? No, unfortunately, tickets are not made available to regular park guests any longer. They were when it was a parade, But now that it's just the musical performances, they usually just have cast members fill in as the audience.
I've been working all year, though, at my face, like looking like this. I mean, this is why you got to watch on video on Mondays. Like, look, I'm so excited to see this random person from Disney Channel that I don't know their show anymore because my kid's kind of older.
Donnelly! Woo! Yeah. I mean,
in like a scarf. You know, I look like I'm bundled up like I'm going to the Arctic, even though it's probably 79 degrees that day of the recording.
Now, Ricky, now we have Mike Donnelly saying, yay, the Be Our Guest podcast.
I don't even know who that is, by the way.
We just made an enemy, Ricky.
I'm sorry. No, I really like her on American Housewife. So.
See, I thought that was a guy. I didn't even know what you're talking about.
Meg Donnelly?
I thought you said Mike.
I don't even know. Whatever.
Sorry, Meg. Meg, I certainly like you. It was Mike Donnelly who I did not know who that was.
Well, I got some kid down the street.
She's been in the movie Zombies on Disney Channel, and she does like Disney Channel. I know way more than I should know about Meg Donnelly.
I guess so.
She's on like Radio Disney. I don't know.
You're a 12-year-old. You say it.
Sometimes I am.
All right. Well, let's get to the topic at hand. Today we're talking technology at Walt Disney World.
How far are we into this?
I know. We're not talking about Meg Donnelly? Okay.
No. So,
for the Meg Donnelly podcast.
There is a lot going on with technology down at Walt Disney World. We have kind of new buses, which I think are kind of next gen. I like seeing those. But one of the things I've been reading about the most, and this I've seen people getting a little hot on Twitter, which that doesn't take a lot some days for the Disney community to get a little fired up on Twitter, which is always fun. I try to avoid the arguments, but it is kind of exciting to see what people get excited about. And it's these fuel rods, which if you don't know, I'd say for about the last five or more years, there have been these cylindrical external battery chargers that you can take, and you know, you buy one initially. They sell them at airports too, all around the country, where I think you buy them for about $30 ish. Now, I'm not sure on the price, it's changed over the years, but it's around $30. You buy a little charger. Now, they're not the most, you know, like I have a portable external battery that like will charge an iPad and will charge a MacBook. I mean, this thing's 21,000 milliamp hours. This thing, like, I mean, if the airplane loses power, we can probably get to the next city on this thing. I'll be like, I'm good here. We can get there. This thing's huge. It's way too heavy to carry around, really. But I like to have juice. So kind of to solve that problem with smartphones is that they had these little fuel rods, and you just basically go buy one at a vending machine and you would use it and it would come fully charged. You plug it in to your phone, it would charge your phone back up, not real quickly, but it would. And then the trick was with this whole company was that as the battery was depleted, you would go back to the vending machine and you would exchange it for free for a fully charged another fuel rod. So ideally, you would never run out of juice because you could always keep exchanging them. You didn't have to refire up your battery like you do at the resort each night, like I have to do. So, Ricky, what's the latest on this? Because now I think that they're maybe their shareholders are crying or something. I don't know, because they want to turn a little bit more of a profit, I think.
Somebody is crying. Let's put it this way. I knew this was coming a long time ago, and that's because Brian actually contacted the company to see about adding fuel rods to his hotel. It was my idea, actually. And so when he contacted them, they said, yeah, well, we're actually going like to start charging for swapping. And this was at least a couple years ago. So I knew this was coming a couple years ago. And I was actually surprised it took this long for it to happen at Walt Disney World. Now, I know it's happened other places over the past year or so, but it really took a long time for it to happen at Walt Disney World. And it actually has happened at Universal as well. But so what it's going to do is today, the fuel swapping is now going to cost $3 every time you want to swap out one of those fuel rod bowls. Devices. So that's actually, I mean, that's a lot of money when you think about it, to swap your device each and every time. So I suspect that fuel rod will probably not be long for this world, whether it's at Walt Disney World or in the world in general, because, you know, swapping it out for $3 a pop is really, really expensive, especially when, you know, I can buy multiple little devices, you know, at Target and places like that, that are, you know, about the same size as the fuel rod was. And, you know, they're $5 and I can buy, you know, a few of them and pop them in my purse or wherever. And, you know, when one is depleted, I just use another one and then I charge it at the end of the night. Now, I know that you can take your fuel rod and, you know, you get to keep it, so you can charge it. But for the swapping capabilities, I just don't think that it's worth it anymore. I didn't think it was worth it before because obviously I didn't own one. I have my own portable charger that I use because it lasts forever. It's not as big as yours, Mike, but it is a pretty solid brick as well, but still lasts forever. I can go a couple days without charging it, to be perfectly honest. And with the battery life of the iPhone and that, I'm good to go for the most part. So, you know, I mean, I think there are way better methods nowadays than the fuel rod system in the first place.
Well, I think that's it, too, is that when these came out, like, you know, battery technology wasn't as efficient. So you were draining your battery right. A lot more quickly. Now, if you get like an iPhone Max, I mean, those things have batteries that go on for days and days pretty much. But here's the thing. I don't want fuel rod to go out of business, even at the $3 exchange price, because I like knowing that in a pinch, say I forget to bring my external batteries or I forgot to charge it the night before. God help us, the three of us. If we ever run out of juice at a Disney park with our phones, I would run out of air. Like, I wouldn't be able to breathe. I mean, think about how many teenagers would just lose it if they didn't have, like, I've seen those pumpkins carved that have, like, the battery with, like, the 1% showing. Like, that's the scariest Halloween jack-o'-lantern you can make for anybody nowadays. So Pam, what's your strategy? Because I'm one that walks in with, like, three external batteries. Like, I'm just in case I'm stranded in the park for, like, 96 hours and there's no electricity. I'm good. But I mean, what do you do? I mean, what's your strategy? What advice would you give somebody looking to have juice all day on their Disney vacation?
So I do think that that's who it appealed to, people who didn't anticipate how much charge they would need throughout the day for one reason or another. Maybe they don't use their phone as much as home, or they just forgot, right? If you forget for a day at that point in time, if you forget to bring your charger, if you forget to whatever, I still think that $30 is a relatively small price to pay for being able to recharge your device. I mean, for me, it's kind of comforting to know as a backup that those are there. Really and truly, it is. I always bring extra devices with me and charging cords and all, you know, all that. But it only takes, I mean, I can't say that I haven't walked into the park and totally forgot, like just totally spaced on doing that. And it was on my mind throughout the day. Like, okay, well, if I get really low, I'll just buy a fuel rod. And then you do have it. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. You do have it. So if I already have one, the $3 to exchange it, it, again, not that much to, you know, to when you're considering having nothing. And I think they probably did a fair amount of research in that the $3 charge, you know, to get that price point that wasn't too high.
Chris is saying in the chat that at the Indy airport, it only costs $1 to swap.
Yeah. And the fuel rods themselves are less expensive outside of
theme
parks as well.
Yes.
So that makes sense. But I think, you know, you really do have a captive audience. I mean, an audience that pays $8 for a pretzel or, you know, is whatever for that. So, and I don't think that Disney is necessarily, I don't think that the $8 pretzel is out of line. That's not the point I'm trying to make. I mean, when I go to a local theme park or a fair, I'm paying an obscene amount for, you know, all kinds of snacks.
Or the baseball game or something like that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Or a baseball game. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Right.
But I think it just is what it is. I mean, you know, that's the price of it. And people who want it will use it. And I don't think it's horrible. I mean, tell me, like, if you're at a theme park and you're trying to stay in touch with your family, look at your fast passes, make dining reservations and everything else with your phone, tell me that it's not worth $30 to charge that at that point. Right?
You give like a pinky for that some days, you know? Like,
I know, right? I know. So I'm okay with that. I mean, I hope the company stays in business and I hope that they're there because it's part of my backup plan.
Yeah, I just like it. It's a security blanket for me. You know, like I'm never going to run out of juice. There's no way because I'm crazy. And here's the thing. Just one other thing to think about on power for Disney vacation, especially for folks that haven't gone that much. Your phone will use a ton of power in the parks because because it's always pinging and stuff. Like, the battery does drain quicker than it will. And plus, you're on it a ton more at Walt Disney World. I mean, you're just doing more. Like Pam said, dining reservations, fast passes. You're Instagramming pictures, most likely. People are texting you. How's the trip going? You're just probably going to be on it more than you normally are, so it'll drain quicker. So have a, you know, and just go online. And you can use our link if you want. That'd be great. But if not, I mean, just, you can get great external batteries nowadays for, like, in the $20, $30 range. And, I mean, they're going to be way better than these fuel rod batteries. Like, they'll charge faster. You can charge multiple devices at the same time. And I will say that, like, I'm the power source for my family, because as much as I remind Mallory, like, she's going to want to use her phone tomorrow, but she, you know, and I tell everybody before they go to bed, like, I have a station I set up. First thing when I get in my resort room, I have, like, a station that I put my Apple Watch charger, my AirPods charger cord. Like, I have this, like, little power, like, mat thing. I just have, like, a system. So before I go to bed, everything is being charged. I cannot go to sleep until, like, all my external batteries are getting charged. I mean, the lights probably dim at the hotel when I get back, because I'm charging everything because I'm that way. Because I guarantee you, Mallory doesn't charge her phone the night before, because she'll be messing with it and fall asleep. She won't have it on. Pam does the same thing. So, I mean, the whole thing is, like, I'm charging the whole family all day, because if I don't do it, we're really out of trouble. So I'm just saying, just think about your...
But that's what I think.
Think about
it. The supposition is that, like, somehow... This was made for you. It wasn't made for you.
No, it's made for, like, a teenager that doesn't charge your phone. Is what it's made for.
When you're starting a business, you're going to fulfill a need. And this fulfills a need. Is it the need of the person who already has bought, like, their external battery from Amazon? No, it's not for that person. It's for other folks who forgot it or meant to or whatever. So I think that's it. Like, if you already have a charging plan, if you will, a plan for charging, don't worry about it. You got this. But this is for the folks who, you know what I mean, who didn't think about this before they left home. I don't know who these people are, but they're there.
They're truly
out there. So probably not for all of us who are listening, because we listen to podcasts or we listen to whatever, but it is for other folks out there who just, you know, don't anticipate needing this in their lives.
Or the bottom line is, just be friends with somebody that's got a 21,000 milliamp battery and you can charge.
True.
Let them carry it.
I know. And that's mine too. That's my husband is part of my backup plan. Not only do I have the small charging, and I usually bring two of them and cord in, you know, with me at all times, but he is like a brick. He insists on bringing
it. Me too.
Like, I'm just like, but he has it. So.
And Erica brings up a good point. Don't forget your charging cable. Just throw a couple in your
for
pocket.
Sure.
Those are light.
Yes, no matter what.
But you can always buy them if you need them. They have them in the store, so don't, like, panic. I mean, you can always buy one. And that's good news. Okay. Going along with that, let me ask you about this, because I've been having this conversation with my wife about this over the last, like, 3 or 4 months. Okay, so now when you go through security at Walt Disney World, you are not required to take out, like, your keys and stuff and your wallet. Like, you can just cruise through that metal detector with all this stuff in your pocket. I've gone through with those batteries in my pocket. I know you're not really supposed to, but I didn't know, like, the first couple times. I said, you know, they just tell you keep moving. Like, Pam, how's that working? Like, what are they scanning for if that is not beeping? Like, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, they must have some really cool technology that we don't know about. It's great for getting through there. But I'm just like, wow, if I can get through with a battery in my pocket, that kind of makes me a little nervous.
Well, I think that they've thought about this a lot.
I'm sure they have. It's just, I mean, it's like, I mean, it's one of the things with technology. It's like, wow, they really took a step here that you can go through with all your junk in your pockets. I'm glad. But
well, first of all, we know that they have the dogs. And the dogs are highly effective. In fact, incredibly effective at smelling for explosives and gunpowder and things like that. So I'm sure that's part of their overall, security plan. I love seeing these discussions, because I think once again the supposition is what we see is the only thing that is happening in terms of security. And there's a lot of things that are done for certain reasons. There's a certain level of security that is done to make people feel more calm. There's a certain level of security that is done specific to finding different things. There's a different level of security that is done for other reasons. You know what I mean? So I think that. But I think, like, a lot of times, especially when you're going through any kind of metal detector, they're looking to see where the detector's going off, right? Mm-hmm. So what part of your body is that happening? And I think they get some kind of indicator on how strong of how strongly it's going off or things like that. So, I mean, this is what I'm supposing. Again,
we're guessing.
No insider knowledge here, but I think it's just one piece in an overall huge security plan.
I'm just one of those people that I'm just like amazed by new technology. Like when I can walk through there with all my junk in my pockets, I'm like, this is awesome. But then like a couple days later, I'm like, what's going to beep? And you know what beeps is my cheap Target belt. Like I have a cheap belt from Target. That's the only belt I own right now. And I wear it with all my pants and it just beeps. Like it's because it's got like a, it's not like I have like a rodeo. Like I'm not like a rodeo champ buckle on it or anything. It's just a little metal buckle. That
you know what doesn't it. Mean? My Apple Watch, if I get it too close.
Yeah, well, you got to hold it up like this. They tell
I know.
You. Like,
up, yeah. So then I'm walking through I know, like the an Apple Watch thing. I know, you know what I mean? Like doing some weird thing with my hand. Because I inevitably remember like 0.2 seconds before I'm walking through. And I'm like, oh, wait. And then I'm trying to put my hand somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And I won't cut it off. So I'm probably on film 8 million times. Or like, what is this woman doing?
They totally.
Like she does something right before she walks through. Is she hiding something?
No, whatever. They totally train us. Like, here we go. Whoop. Do the Apple
yep,
Watch dance.
I know.
Do the whoop. Do the whoop. And hold your breath while you go through. Like, that helps. I always hold my breath. I don't know if that matters. So, Ricky, let me ask kind of along these lines. Or, Ricky, with these
hold
new... Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure they're not checking to see if you're breathing. But, Ricky,
they're,
so...
They're like, this guy never breathes.
Yeah,
he's
shady. He doesn't even take a breath when he goes through. So,
he's so nervous.
Exactly. Sweating bullets. I shouldn't say bullets. Ricky, so along these lines, though, all the parks now are going through this massive change at the entry plazas, which I think... You know, we've kind of had to suffer through a long time of this transitional period. But for example, the studios, so much nicer. And they've pushed the security out at the Magic Kingdom, so much nicer. So I think Disney's being very proactive because think about it. Everybody's bringing all this junk to the parks. They didn't bring a decade ago. So they have to kind of come up with an answer. And I think they've been really good in this instance.
They've been decent, let's put it that way. I still to this day think Universal does a much better job with checking bags, and I am very surprised that Disney did not go the route that Universal has done when they updated the bag check areas at Hollywood Studios as well as Epcot, I think, has just opened. I'm very surprised that they didn't do scanners like Universal has, but so you still have to go through having your bag poked and prodded, which some people are uncomfortable with, not because they're trying to sneak something in, but just because of one reason or another. So like I get that people don't love their bag being poked and prodded at,
as long as they're not poking and prodding on me. I'm pretty
well
good.
Yes, but so I with that being said, I do have to say that I've been through the new system at Hollywood Studios, and it was much better because they had way more lines open. But there's also the problem of, okay, so what happens when they do like have, hours cut or whatever, or when the park isn't expected to be as busy, and then all of a sudden the masses all descend on it and they still don't have a lot of people there. It'll be just as backed up as it was before, even with all the stations open, so not open. So, that's still something that you're going to run into occasionally. But it's much nicer when they have it fully staffed. I will say it's very, very nice to get to experience, not having to wait in a huge long line. Cause man, I've been there, and it's, especially at Epcot, the old Epcot one was just a cluster, man. You walk in and like everybody's clamored into this one teeny tiny little space. And you're just
well, especially if you're coming from the parking lot, not from the Disney transportation buses.
Yeah,
that was
exactly.
A little bit bigger. It was easier when you came in on the buses than the parking lot. That was a small one.
Yes. So I don't know. I'm glad to see that they are at least addressing it to make it better, in the sense of they're making them bigger and making it a little more user-friendly as far as not having the lines be as long. I just, kind of wish they'd gone a different route either way, but that's okay.
Okay, so also getting to the parks now. We have these new next-generation buses. They're kind of easy to see if you're down at Walt Disney World. They're character buses, basically. I don't know what they're calling them, but I mean, they don't look like your traditional bus. They're like one, there might be a Dumbo bus or a Minnie Mouse bus or a Mickey Mouse bus, or, they're really kind of expanding it out. I think there was a, one of the Tangle characters or somebody. Was that a huge
Moana.
Major character? Moana was one. I mean, like
they've just done a Toy Story one as well.
Yeah, because so. I mean, it was at first like a Mickey, like the Fab Five.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously, I think I can see them getting. It's kind of like the what I see is kind of like the Skyliner buckets eventually. you know, because they're all kinds of Disney properties. So these are apparently going to have Wi-Fi on them and charging ports as you go to the parks. Pam, I know you don't ride the buses often, but what's this addressing? I mean, because, like, is it the international guests? Because I don't know, because, I mean, I don't see anybody really needing to use Wi-Fi on the bus because everybody's got cell coverage. But am I wrong there? Like, people, because I have an unlimited plan. I think most people do, don't they?
I think a lot of people do. I think, once again, there's a lot of people that don't, though, really and truly. I think there's a lot of people looking for the least expensive way to get their phone bill down, and that's probably what they're doing. You know, and I think that basically the technology as a whole for putting it on a bus or in your own car or whatnot has become more easily accessible, more affordable, all of those things. So it's just, you know, it is just something, a sign of the times. You really do want and need it. And sometimes even when you do have unlimited, that you'll get dead spots. That's like, true. I swear, nothing irritates me more than a dead spot. I don't know why. It's just because we're so used to having Wi-Fi everywhere, right? When you're like someplace, you're out in the middle of nowhere, you're like, I cannot believe my phone does not work here. I have unlimited, for Lord's sake. It's like, what am I doing? Like, 10 years ago, you know, you were glad to have it in your home in most places, right? And now almost everywhere has it. So it's funny. But yeah, it absolutely is a sign of the times in that space. I think that people are looking for it, and they anticipate that the need will continue to be there. So they're investing in that technology.
That's a good point, because my Pam was, she was rear-ended in a car accident a couple weeks ago and totaled the old Trailblazer that had been down to Walt Disney World so many times. We are like 300 miles away from 200,000 miles on that thing. It was so close, but it was... We had to get rid of it. It was totaled. So we got a new car, and the new car has, it's the same thing. It's got like 4G, like, or LTE in it. You know, it's like the car is a hotspot, but I'm like not paying for that because we all have it on our phones. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to subscribe. It'd be just basically like another phone plan, which I just, you know, I think they put that on there to have like a bell and a whistle in the car, but I don't think it's necessary. But I mean, maybe if like you got younger kids that are on like iPod touches or, you know, iPads in the back seat. But I mean, if they're that young, suck it up, buttercup. You don't get Wi-Fi. I don't know. That'd be me. But I don't have little kids anymore. So I don't know. Maybe if we can shut them up for a while and we're driving 12 hours across the country, I'd pay that bill. I don't know. So, Ricky, what is the status on these new buses? I mean, because they seem to be rolling out, you know, more than I was expecting. I thought it'd be two or three and they'd be experimenting, but it seems like more than that.
Yeah, I am surprised at how many different buses. Like, I thought they would just be the Fab Five and that's what we'd get. And we'd get different, you know, we'd get a bunch of Fab Five buses and that would be, you know, and that would be what we see. But no, apparently we're getting buses with every, you know, Disney character known to man on them. And I bet you money they will be doing like what they did with the Skyliner buckets, and they will start adding like the Haunted Mansion or something like that on them.
So, I love that.
Yeah. So, I'm sure there's a need for it. My question will be, what happens when these, you know, USB ports start breaking? Because inevitably they will. So will they, you know, because we've all been to the airport where they have the USBs under the seat, and then inevitably you sit at the one that's not working and you're like, no, I picked the wrong one.
Stay seated while the bus is in motion, even if you don't have juice.
Exactly. So I wonder what they're going to do. You know, it's a good idea in theory. I hope that it continues to be a good idea in execution. Let's put it that way. So
I do like, though, that they're trying it, you know, because I think you know, it's one of those things that even if it's not used a ton, like, people will go home and evangelize that. Like, we were on a bus that had Wi-Fi and a charging port, you know, like an airplane, because basically what it is, like an airplane.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I mean, the expectation is most people, not most people, but, you know, probably about half the people or a little bit more fly down to Walt Disney World. So they're going to have that same experience getting from place to place. Mm-hmm. And, but I mean, everybody's buried in their phones on the buses. You know, it's like, I mean, could you imagine, like, if, say, like, they put some kind of a scrambler on the bus and you couldn't be on your phone and people had to, like, look at each other and talk to each other? Oh my God. That's all kinds of scary.
Yeah. When my husband's there, he's trying to pretend like he's not there. So.
That's it.
He needs a distraction.
He needs a distraction, yeah.
Okay, let's talk about another technology topic that hit about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it's kind of this push that I think Disney's going to be doing more as we go throughout the months and the years, is that with dining, they're kind of encouraging everybody to move to the app and move online rather than call the old, you know, when this podcast started, you made your reservations, you called 407-WDW-9. You know, that was like that's in our brains. And now they want you to do things online, which I'll be honest, I prefer to do it online because I can see, it's a visual, you know, like I can see what's going on. I can select when I'm calling it in, you know, you gotta, I don't know. Some people don't like the small talk. Some people don't like people. I don't know. Like, I could do either, but I do like, I prefer to see things visually online to make my selection. So, Pam, what do you think's behind that? Is this kind of, I mean, I think it's the way of the future, just to do things online. I mean, think about how, like, I do my banking. I never go to my bank. You know, I pay my bills. You know, I never go, you know, get a stamp anymore, an envelope. I mean, I think this is just the way the world's going.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that they have found that lots of people are making their reservations via the app. Or the website, if you will. So the need for it isn't as much, and it's easier to, you know, decrease those folks that are taking the calls, especially because a number of them were contractors instead of actually employed fully by Disney. So they can remove that part and move on to something else. And I think it was something that was, you know, already there. I think it was something that was naturally happening. And they can just take care of it that way. It doesn't mean that you can't call. You can still call if you need to, but you're going to have better access, I think, because you always have in terms of making dining reservations online, because you could do it an hour earlier before the phones opened. So if that's something that's a real priority to you, you're looking to get one of those hard to make reservations, and that's a way that you can absolutely do it. And I think just take advantage of it. So,
and I do want to throw a tip out there that I give to my guests over at the Magic for Less, is that before your trip, program this number into your phone just so you have it, just in a pinch. And it's 407-WDW-CNCL for cancel, in case you got to cancel an ADR. You want to do that up to 24 hours in advance so you don't get hit with that, you know, the cancellation penalty. You know, before your trip, everything's still 100% going to happen. You know, like everything's still perfect before you arrive. You get there 3 days into the trip, a kid throws up. You know, you don't want that to happen, but in reality, if you've been a parent, it happens. You know, like, should have given the kid the ice cream sandwich and then had him ride the teacups. You know, so maybe you're not going to go to Cinderella's Royal Table that night. Or, you know, something else. I mean, that's a prepaid meal. That's a bad example. Maybe you're not going to Kona. So, you know, just have that in your phone just in case you don't have to, like, scramble and panic at the end of the, you know, at the last minute. Just 407-WDW-CNCL. Just program that in case you got to cancel. All right, Ricky, we have news or time for about one more news story, technology sphere. So what is there anything we're missing? Kind of talked about a few things here.
So we actually have the ability to, you know, speaking of dining, mobile order. You know, we've seen it roll out over the past few years.
This is the best secret ever. Don't say it.
I know. But it's rolling out at more restaurants, and these are going to be restaurants that are at the Walt Disney World Resort hotels. So they started rolling about at a few of them, like Pop Century, and they did it originally at Caribbean Beach at their new Centertown Market, and they did it at the Mara. Well, now they are rolling it out at, I think, almost every single resort hotel quick service restaurant, just about. So I think that that's a really good idea, to be perfectly honest. I absolutely love mobile order. I think it's the best thing since sliced bread.
That's awesome.
And I am so happy that they introduced it. So, you know, the fact that they're adding it to the resort hotels, especially like for breakfast time, you get everybody
100%.
In the room, you know, figure out what you want for breakfast. Okay, place your order. All right, boom, I've got it. Either you go down and you all eat breakfast in the food court, or you have somebody go down, pick it up, and bring it back to the room. I think it's a genius idea. So mobile order is where it's at. But then again, don't use mobile order, because then if too many people start using mobile order, then it's going to start back.
But I mean,
it's good for us.
It is. But I mean, it's a win-win for everybody, isn't it, Pam? Because I mean, with Disney, like, you know, they're getting exactly what the order is. You know, you could even customize things, you know.
Yes.
I mean, it's how easy it to prepare a meal that's already planned out with exactly what you want on a piece of paper, or, you know, on a screen as they pop up in whatever kitchen is preparing the meal. You know, they can do that, they can have it packaged, and it's much more efficient. You don't have all those people milling around in the food court kind of getting in everybody's way. I mean, it takes people out of line. They're still getting their money. The satisfaction, I mean, I praise mobile order. I love it, being able to get my food without waiting. I mean, it's awesome. So I think it's a win-win for everybody.
I think it is too. And I think that it's a system that can continue to handle the demand because of the things that you pointed out. Let's face it, we've all been behind someone who spends like an inordinate amount of time, like, should I get this on my burger?
Yes.
Or maybe I want this. And I want to be like, okay, you know what? First of all, we're in Pecos Bill. We are our every register is 3D. Okay. Yeah. So I'm like, how have you not had time in the 15 minutes we've been standing here to choose what you're going to order and be confirmed on that?
Right.
I want to be like, step aside and let me through because I know what I want to order.
Yes.
And here we go. It's going to take me all 20 seconds to tell this lady. She's going to punch it in and then I'm going to move on. And you'll still be here deciding about whether you want a number two or a number three. And you're going to, first of all, also, you're going to make special requests about stuff. Like, so, no, I'm not typically that impatient, but at times I'm just like, oh my goodness, what have you been doing?
Yeah, I know, I'm the same way. Pay attention.
We've been standing here, people. No. So anyways, yeah, that's it. So I think that's one of the reasons that mobile order works. And like you said, Mike, it does get people in and out quicker. Like I'm going, I'm picking up my order. It's already there. I've gone. I'm not in the middle of Pop Century Food Court like being completely overwhelmed by everything that is going on around me, having the sensory overload of my life, I swear. So all of those reasons, we love mobile ordering. I mean, it's just awesome. So, and by the way, for breakfast, like half of your party can be like looking at their phone in bed while whoever is the sucker that has to go get it. So
that's always awesome. That's me. And I will say, what's that? Somebody's calling on Skype. I don't have Skype running. That's interesting. Let me figure this out. Let's see. That was a 407 number again, too. They're trying to prank us even during a show. We're not live.
Right?
No, and I even have Skype running. So that was interesting. Sorry about that, everybody. But so, yeah, one last thing on that, though, is that, you know, we're still in that initial, like, early days with mobile order where it was kind of like when FastPass first came out. Like, you go over to the side there and, like, what are you doing? Like, getting my food? Well, you didn't wait in line. I know. I didn't wait in line,
sure
did I?
Not.
And all my food's right there on the tray. I know. I just like that. It's like you feel like you know something. And you do.
Yeah, you do.
You just listen to the show. So there you go. All right. So that's going to do it for today's show. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And we're ready for a great weekend. Thanks for hanging with us. We love talking technology. We'll try to do that about once a month just because it's a lot of fun. So don't forget today's show brought to you by friends over at The Magic for Less Travel. When you're ready for that next Disney adventure, reach out to The Magic for Less. They're over at themagicforless.com. If you're going on a trip, just start there. It's a great resource for trip planning either way. It's got pictures of all the resorts. It's got room layouts. It's got reviews. You got all your Disney dining plan information. Everything that I get questions about, it's all right there on the website. So check it out. While you're there, fill out that free no obligation quote and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. And don't forget, we have one more sponsor today, and it's our friends over at Milk Snob. They're originally seen on Shark Tank. They can now be found at Target, Bye Bye Baby, Nordstrom, their own online site, and over 300 retailers around the world. And today, they launched the Star Wars Festive Force. Check this out, Pam. This is awesome. So this is a new holiday print. This came out this week. It features Luke and Vader battling for the galaxy with candy cane lightsabers. And then we have Chewbacca wrapped up in Christmas lights. And even a stormtrooper. It's stormtroopers in Santa hats. And it's check perfect. This out. I mean, you get these covers. You can put them on car seats, shopping carts, high chairs, infant swings. They can be used for nursing as well. And here's the big kicker. 20% off for listeners of the Be Our Guest podcast. So drop by milksnob.com. Use the code BRGuest20. 20% off your order. Talk about something right here for the holidays that Disney fans, you know, you want to give something for the Disney fan in your life.
Plus, I could protect a baby from that yucky yes. grocery cart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just saying. Yeah. I love these prints. Be Chewbacca and Christmas lights. I'm sold. That's I need.
That's awesome. So I want one for every season.
Absolutely. So, you know, buy gifts for your friends. I think they'll get a kick out of it. So milksnob.com, be our guest 20. Check that out today. Don't forget our Amazon affiliate link. Also, as you start doing that holiday shopping, Amazon or brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Please use that link. You get all your Prime benefits. Cost you nothing extra. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. All right. Give us a follow on social. We're on Instagram and Twitter at brguestpod. and at BRGuestMike, and drop by the Facebook group. Over 9,000 crazy Disney fans there talking Disney all the time. Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here. I'm not wheezing. That's Ricky's cat. Getting out of here for the weekend because I thought I was wheezing last week, but it was just her cat I didn't realize was in the room. So we are going to let you have an awesome weekend. So welcome to November, everybody, and we're falling apart here at the end. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wish you a great weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.